great to see everybody this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Amen.
We'll take you, let you focus on the announcements for this week to the right on your bulletin. Got Parsonage open house today from 2 to 5. Y'all come. Want to remind everybody to fill out the attendance sheets. They're actually started on the front row, and I think they said that we would wait till the choir come down to do that, so we wouldn't miss anybody. If you have not put your telephone numbers and your email addresses, if you would do that, because I think that'll be a blessing for Theresa, so she'll have that. Bring cereal for fish. I know that we've been doing real good on that, but if everybody will continue to do that, that is one of our ministries here at our church, that we do furnish the cereal for fish. And I know that with so many people being out of work, that is no doubt a good ministry that we're fulfilling. Lunch with the pastor will be on Tuesday, August the 3rd at 11:30 at Kimbo's. I guess we're skipping this week, right?
Right, I'm at pastor school.
We're skipping that. Theresa will be at pastor school this week. United Methodist Men's Breakfast is next Sunday at 8 a.m. For all of you men that want to come out and have a lot of good fun and fellowship and good food, right, Max?
Oh, yeah.
So they would love for you to join them. United Methodist Women will meet on August the 2nd at 7 p.m., and we would love to have you ladies to join us for the ones that have not been coming. We do have a good time, so we would love for y'all to come out and join us and be with us also. Got a lot going on. We got cleanup day on August the 7th here at the church, and I think we start about 9 a.m. Is that correct, everybody?
No.
No?
Okay. Maybe 8.
Well, for the women. For the women. Okay, Max says 8 for the men. Is that right, men?
6 for men.
Okay, well, we'll get that settled for sure by next Sunday. Revival and Homecoming's coming up August the 8th through the 11th, and that's going to be an exciting week, and that is going to be here before we know it. It is so close. Does anybody have any announcements that we need to bring up that we didn't know?
I'd like to say that we're encouraging people to bring their children for Children's Sunday School. We had Veggie Tales this morning, and I don't know what it was about, but that's what they selected. But please come Sunday school, 10 o'clock. I'll even start getting snacks. How's that? I'll promise snacks.
I think Melissa's been doing snacks.
Oh, Melissa. Her snacks will be better than my snacks.
Melissa has them. She already has them spoiled.
And y'all come to the Parsonage open house at 2 o'clock. Y'all should know how to get to the Parsonage. I hope. We've been preparing for 3 days now. We're going to have a feast. So my friend who cooks Cajun food is cooking some things up. I don't know what she's cooking, but y'all come. We'll have a good time.
I think I might skip lunch and just wait for the Parsonage. Ooh, sounding good. Let us begin with our call to worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We give you thanks, O Lord, with our whole hearts. Today we sing your praise.
We bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks.
For your steadfast love and your faithfulness.
For you have exalted your name and your word above everything.
Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve us against the wrath of our enemies.
You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers us.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for us.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever.
Let us pray. Loving and caring God, we come to worship you. In you we are fed. In you we are heard. We praise you because we call upon you as children, and we can call upon you as a parent. We thank you because you hear our call and are faithful to answer. Be present with us now, O God. Let your Spirit flow over and through us. Help us to conform our hearts and our minds to your gracious will. strengthen us and guide us, and make us one family, a family of joy, of love, of comfort, and hope. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our brother and our friend. Amen. If you will open your hymnals and turn to page 380, we will get ready to sing There's Within My Heart. And after we sing, if you will continue to stand and greet one another with peace to each other.
Thank you.
lesson comes from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 19, if you want to follow along. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built in Him, and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through physiologically and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of divinity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in Him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh, the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with Him in baptism, you were also raised with Him through faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of His flesh, God made you alive together with Him, when He forgave us our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink, of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. They are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions puffed up without cause by human of thinking, and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. This is the reading of God's holy word. Amen. Come on up, Ann. I always want to bring the children up.
Thank you.
forward, please. And children or anyone that's young at heart or under 20. So come on up. I have two. Do I have three? Going once? Oh, here comes some more. Look at that. Claire's young at heart. Jokes? Yeah? Why don't we tell some knock-knock jokes? You start. Who's there? Apple who? Knock-knock. Apple. Knock-knock. Who's there? Apple. Apple who? Knock-knock. Orange. Aren't you glad I didn't say apple? Knock, knock. Boo. I didn't mean to scare you. You don't have to cry. There are a lot. We make fun about knock, knock jokes, right? But our passage that we're going to read in a few minutes says to Jesus, he says that we can ask anything of him. All we have to do is stand at the door and knock. Ask and ye shall find. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it will all be given to you. So when we go up to the doors of our heart and we go knock, knock, and Jesus answers the door, do we want to answer him with a ding dong ditch? Y'all ever play ding dong ditch? No, where you knock the door and then you run away? Have you ever done it on Halloween? Yeah. When we go and we knock on the door, Jesus will open, and just like Halloween, we will get something very special. It's not trick or treat, it's just treat or treat. But all you have to do is ask. What did Jesus say about prayer? He said, if two or more of you ask for it, then I'll seriously consider it. If it is something that's not bad for you. We have to remember that not all of our prayers are answered exactly. What are kind of prayers that are not answered exactly? Dear Jesus, I want a pony for Christmas. Yeah, okay. Those are the kinds of prayers that might not be answered exactly as we want. What else? Dear Jesus, I want an Xbox 360 with games. I don't think so. I don't think that's going to... No. We don't ask Jesus for things like we would ask Santa Claus, right? What are the kinds of things that we ask Jesus for when we knock on his door? What kind of things do we ask for? Love? Yeah, that's a good answer, love. What else? A good life, yeah. Forgiveness. That's a very important thing for us to ask for, is forgiveness. So let us remember that we can ask Jesus for just about anything as long as it's not a pony or an Xbox 360, okay? Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for hearing my prayers and help me be a better person. Help me grow in love and know that my sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now you can go back to your seats or you can go to Children's Church with Melissa. Worship service where we share our prayer concerns with one another. Uberta Malcolm is already on our prayer list, but she has gone back into the hospital with pancreatitis. She's going to be there perhaps a week. So if you will keep her in your thoughts and prayers. Are there any others? Yes. Sarah Preston has passed away. Let us keep her family. I had a good friend of mine pass away this week as well, Martha Woodard. I don't know if any of y'all know her. She used to go to Loganville. She went to Grayson for a while, but she was very embedded in the community there. And please keep her husband, Bill Woodard, in your prayers. Are there any others? If there are no others, then let us go to God in prayer. Yes.
I have a joy to tell everybody about Agnes and I celebrating our 60th anniversary.
Your 60th anniversary, Thursday. Well, congratulations. That is love. That's wonderful. And how did you manage? Well, that's a wonderful praise. And I'd like to also say that I'm very happy to see my friend Judy Crawford here. Hey, Judy. Let us go to God in prayer. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Dearest Lord Jesus, you are the Holy One of Israel. We have seen your goodness, we have seen your power, your love. We've seen how many times that you have left us to go apart for a while to pray. And we have seen you pray beside us and reach out and touch and heal others with a word. Lord, today we ask that you teach us to pray as Jesus prayed, to reach out to you as our Father. Teach us to reach out to you as you reach out to us, to touch as you have touched us, to talk to you as you talk to us. Father, there are times in particular in our lives where we need to feel your embrace, where we need to feel your arms holding us, where we need to feel your hand supporting us. There are times where we need to approach you as our Father and tell you about the day that we've had and about the things that we are afraid of, about our hopes and our dreams. Lord, we need to talk to you, to hear your words of assurance, to get your advice, to see you reach out and fix the broken things we bring to you, the broken things and the broken people. Help us to come to you. Help us to talk with you. Help us to be not afraid. Lord, we know that when we cannot pray ourselves, that the church community around us is praying, and that your very spirit will groan with our own prayers. Listen to our prayers this day. Lord, pour your spirit upon the family of Sarah Preston. Pour your spirit upon the family of Martha Woodard. Let them know your presence in a real way today. God, be with those that are shut in that cannot be with us today. Huberta Malcolm, Martha Phelps, Lily Toler. People who have been faithful to come, but now are frail. Pour your spirit upon them. Let them know your presence today. Lord, we pray for all of those whose names lay on the back of our bulletin,
but especially whose names lay upon our hearts, that we cannot even bring ourselves to say aloud. We ask these things, all of these things, through Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you. Lord, we ask that you move our hearts to an ever deeper love of you. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I will ask if our ushers will come forth, please. Let us pray. Dearest God, for all that you have given us, we thank you. For all that you have revealed to us, we praise you. For all that you have commanded, we pledge our obedience. And for all that you have called us to, we commit ourselves today anew. Take these gifts that we are about to offer, and let them do your work here in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing for that historic confession of faith we call the Apostles' Creed. You'll find it on page 881 of your United Methodist hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If you'll remain standing and join us in hymn number 337, Only Trust Him.
Our gospel lesson today comes from the book of Luke, the 11th chapter, starting with the first verse. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say this, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' And your friend answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. And so I say to you, ask and it will be given. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For anyone who asks receives, and anyone who searches finds. For everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of God for the people of God. You know, I've read this passage many times, and it always strikes me that the Lord's Prayer in Matthew and the Lord's Prayer in Luke are slightly different. And I think it's because they're different people, and so they need to pray differently. Another thing that struck me this time as I was reading it is the amount of language that is used of family. Jesus calls God Father. Jesus calls us his children and says that even though we who are evil, we're sinners, right? We know how to give good gifts. How much more will God, who is always good, give us if only we ask? So I started to think, well, what is it that people as parents want out of their children? And what is it that children want out of their parent? And it's very similar once you start looking at it. So I started looking at all the experts, right? So I went to Super Nanny. Y'all ever heard of Super Nanny? I love Super Nanny. I like Nanny 911. I like the one called Super Manny, who's the man who comes in and does the nanny's things. She has a list of things that all kids need. And one of the first ones that she lists is that all kids need some one-to-one time with their parent in order that they know that they are loved and they're being heard. One-to-one time with their parent. They need forgiveness and follow through. If they're acting up, make sure you go through with a consequence and without aggression. And then finally, at the end of their time out or whatever, if you ever watch Super Nanny, she gets down on their level and says, "Now what do you say?" And they go, "I'm sorry for pulling my sister's hair." And they say, "That's okay, you're forgiven." And she gives them a hug and sends them on their way. Their punishment over, their offense forgotten. What else do they need to know? Children need to know where the boundaries are. The things to do and the things not to do. Can I tell a story on you guys? I haven't asked you beforehand. Can I go ahead and tell a story? Okay. She says okay. I have two children that act two different ways, right? I have one child who, when she was old, and I would say, you can drive your big wheel to the end of the driveway, but don't you go any further. She knows where the boundary is. She would ride all the way down to the end of the driveway, look at me, and throw one toe over the line. Like, what you gonna do now? Some of us are like that, are we not? Always testing the boundaries. Always seeing if that's really where we're going to fall, have those consequences. I have another child. I would say, now don't you go past that line at the end of the driveway. And she would go, okay. And she'd ride her, and then just zoom right into the street. Oh, I forgot. There's some of us like that too, right? Where we know there's a boundary, but it just sort of slips our minds. Children need to know where the boundaries are. What is good? What is bad? What I will do for you, what I will not do for you. What else do they need? They need to know what the consequences are. They need to know that if you go past the end of the driveway, you will sit in timeout for 3 minutes. And then as a parent, what do we need to do? Make sure they sit in timeout for 3 minutes when they crack the rule. And they need to have reward for good behavior. If you see that your child has spontaneously picked something up, give them a hug, a word of praise, a sticker. The age my children are, they want $5 bills, but you know, hey, that might be pushing it. Reward good behavior. And in fact, if you look at the qualities a parent wants a child to have, they want their child to be loving. How many of us want our children to be loving? They want their children to have good sense. Heaven forbid, I pray for that daily. Let my children have good sense. They want them to be honest. You want them to be obedient, considerate, responsible, and kind. Well, what do children want out of parents? You know what children want? The number one thing that kids would say, I want to know that my mommy and my daddy love me. Second thing is, I want my mommy and my daddy to spend more time with me. I want my mother and my father to listen to me with empathy, to laugh and have fun with me, to teach me, to allow me room to grow, to stay interested in what I'm doing. I want my parents to be honest and authentic. I want them to be kind. I want them to focus on what is right and not hold grudges. I want them to love me without condition. What strikes me about these two lists is, are they not about the same? Are they not? And what also struck me is that both parents and children want one-on-one time. They want to know that they're loved and that they're listened to. As God is our Heavenly Father, as Jesus so points out in this prayer, he doesn't just say Father. He calls him Abba, which is Aramaic for Daddy. Not just Father, but Daddy. What kind of things is he asking for? Well, through prayer, we are getting that one-on-one time with our Abba, our Heavenly Father. Are we not? What other things do we want? Well, he says ask for things, certain things. A very short list, but just very few things. We want our relationship with God to be intimate, but there's also a sense of immediacy with our relationship for God. He tells us that what we need to ask for is our daily bread. Not our weekly bread, not our monthly or yearly bread, but our daily bread. Take care of my needs for today, for right now. And he uses the word bread. And that word bread is so loaded right now in the Christian community, always has been, because even though Jesus said this before he died, there's always the sense of communion that is with this idea of bread. Bread is not just something physical as in eating, although I think he means that as well. Please give me 3 square meals today. But bread is something that nourishes and sustains. We're also asking for that spiritual bread that doesn't fade, and we're asking for it daily. Give us this day our daily bread. The second thing we ask for is to forgive our debts. That's the word I used as a Presbyterian growing up. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. We say forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. The actual phraseology in the prayer in Matthew is, forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. When I start thinking about forgiving debt, though, a very specific parable comes to mind, and that's the parable of the unforgiving servant. Do you remember that parable? Where he owed a whole bunch to his master, and he told his master, "Oh, I can't pay you back," and the master said, "That's okay." But then he turned around and he went to people that owed him and started beating them up for what they owed him, and they said, "Wait, you have been forgiven. You need to pass that forgiveness to others." Sometimes we can rest in our forgiveness and still hold grudges. Can we not? We need to stop it, y'all, because God has forgiven us so much. Can we not forgive the little sins of our brothers and sisters against us? That's what he's asking. It's a form of graciousness. And he's asking for us to show initiative in doing it. He's asking for us, as we know we are forgiven daily, to go out and forgive. He's asking for us to show the initiative. The Lord's Prayer is intimate. Father, Abba. It is immediate. Give us our daily bread. But we have to show initiative as well. The last thing it says, and do not bring us to the time of trial. It shows us that we can ask God to insulate us from the evil that surrounds us. But again, I hear that word, the time of trial, and I think of what's going to happen in just a few chapters later in Luke about how in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus pleads for this cup to be taken from him. It doesn't totally stop us from being touched by the time of trial. The time of trial will be here, and we will all encounter those times of trial. But Jesus says we can ask for God's presence with us during that time of trial. And then in Luke, you'll notice, he doesn't really finish. Does he finish? No. "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." There's no finish. And Luke, he kind of leaves it unfinished, which is a very interesting thing. Instead of finishing the prayer, he kind of returns to the opening theme of Father. Hallowed be thy name. What does hallowed mean? Does anyone know? There's some kids who when they hear it, think that we're saying Howard be your name. But God's name is not Howard. Hallowed.
hallowed, an old English word that means make God's name be always holy. For thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He returns to the idea of Abba, of Father. And he realizes there's something still deep within the disciples' inner self, their soul maybe. There's a dislocation that, are we sure that God, can we really trust? There's a dislocation between trust and distrust. Can we really trust God? Can we knock on that door and expect God not to play ding-dong ditch on us or give us a snake instead of the fish that we ask for? And he says, which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give a snake instead? How many of y'all would have your child come up and say, give me something to eat, and lay on them a serpent? Or have your child ask for an egg and instead give them a scorpion? How many loving parents would do that? Well, I don't think any, or very few. And if those of you who are evil can do this, just think how much more God will give. We live in a world of human extremes. We do live in a world where there are people who will give a snake instead of a fish, a scorpion instead of an egg. We live in a world where we can actually hear, you know, our little devil sitting on our shoulder, it wouldn't hurt, just gonna do it now. And our little angel here. We live in a world where we're always in conflict. And that's the human condition. The extremes will come out in life. We need to figure out that even if there is a real world out there that shows little signs of caring, planning, love, or joy, where a world out there that will give us snakes and scorpions exist, that all we have to do is turn to our Abba, to our Father in prayer, and He will hear and He will answer. I read this in the New Revised Standard Version, but what I've been sitting with this week is the Message. Y'all ever heard of the Message translation? It's a fresh way of hearing things. Listen to what it says in the Message. So Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father, reveal who you are. Set this world to its right. Keep us alive with three square meals. Keep us forgiven and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. And then he said, imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. And the friend answers from his bed, don't bother me. The door's locked. My children are down for the night. I can't get up and give you anything. But let me tell you, even if he won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand and on your ground and you keep knocking and waking all the other neighbors, he will finally get up and give you whatever you need. We need to be persistent in our prayers. Not only can we be intimate with God, calling Him Daddy, not only can we be immediate with God, asking every single day, here He tells us to be persistent in our prayers. How many of y'all have ever prayed for someone and it seems like you've been praying for them for years, and then one day your prayer is answered? Be persistent. And this is what I'm telling you, he says, ask and you'll get, seek and you'll find, knock and that door will be opened. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on the plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a scorpion? As bad as you are, wouldn't you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think that the Father who conceived you in love will give you the Holy Spirit when you ask? Let us pray. Dearest Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to seek your Spirit, to seek your will. Remind us again and again and again that we are to pursue your purposes and not our own. Give us today your grace and your goodness. And in thankfulness, we call you Father. We call you Daddy. In the name of the one whose names we bear, Christ, we pray. Amen. If you will join us in our closing hymn, which is hymn number 395. If you'll stand.
Be upon you in their fullness. May you live by the Spirit of life and know the freedom of being a child of God. May we rest secure in the knowledge and the love of the indwelling Christ, both now and forevermore. Amen.